Lollygaggers. Another week on tap. Lollygagging Sports. See, I am so excited. I can't even say our podcast name properly. Lollygagging Sports. I am Bo Reed along with Samantha Button and Matthew Irby. You know, Samantha, there's this trend going around social media right now where they're putting Kickstart My Heart on top of random videos. And the whole idea is that Motley Crue works for anything. I think it's definitely working for baseball playoffs so far. I mean, it does in general, but the playoffs have been awesome.
I feel like you are in a different strain of the algorithm than me.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, the playoffs have been good. And also, hey, have you guys seen this Your First Glove commercial? Because I think this is the first go-to-ad MLB has ever made. It's like people, and they're like running over the glove with the car and like baking it in the oven, you know, sleeping with it under your, all the things you do to break in a glove. Very cool. I like this. It's a bunch of kids.
I'm not saying that I haven't seen it, but I haven't noticed it. I'm typically on my phone during commercials.
This is the first time I've seen it, like just now. We're recording during Yankees Red Sox, and that's the first time I've seen that ad, which I too may have missed it while not paying attention, but that's cool. I like that. This is the first time they've ever correctly advertised their product. Nice. Thanks for that.
Cool. I'll have to look out for that throughout these playoffs. Irby, how about you? How you doing?
Well, amazing now. I'm thinking back to my first glove, which is that bright orange, like Tennessee Volunteer orange.
I'm trying to remember.
Good glove.
I'm really trying to remember mine. I can't right now. I'm going to have to think on that.
I think mine was a Ron Guidry Rawlings, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm. I think
mine was definitely a Rawlings. I want to think it was just basic brown, like nothing special.
Yeah, mine was too. But they always had the signature in the center of the mitt.
Uh-huh.
So it was like somebody who matched your handedness or whatever. And then you know you have to do the thing where you know, like they show in the commercial, you know, you got to wrap something around it, you got to kick it around in the dirt, you know, put your back over it with your car. You know, well, you don't, hopefully, if it's your first glove, your parents do. But now I'm picturing a six-year-old backing over the middle of the car and, like, running into a pole. Okay, if you're six, please don't drive a car over a man. Ask an adult.
Ask an adult to drive a car over your glove. Please.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to talk some playoff baseball this week. We're going to talk a little prediction madness from the beginning of the season. But first, it is rapid fire time. So, Samantha, you want to tell us where me and Irby are going this week?
All right, we're only going to do seven of these this week because we have a lot to get to. So let's try to get some NFL stuff in. We have a couple of baseball things that we need to talk about. Tried to keep the playoff teams out of this because we're going to talk about those guys plenty. So hang in there. They get normally 10, but tonight it's seven. Rapid fire only, which means you don't get to think about it. You don't get to explain it. You just got to go with your first answer. Some of them have right answers. Some of them do not. These guys will have the opportunity to explain one of their answers at the conclusion. So let us begin in the NFL.
Boy.
We had a tie last week. It was supposed to be, depending on which side you were on, the Micah Parsons revenge game or the Jerry Jones revenge game. And instead we got the no defense tie. I mean, this is like, it's like a garbage product, right? I mean, this is terrible. 40-40 tie? Get out of here.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. And football actually made it worse with their 10-minute, everyone gets a possession rules. Like, I understand why we went there. I understand why we went there, but yeah, it's absolutely ludicrous.
Good try. You needed to end sudden death because it was too dependent on luck, sure. But, like, okay, this didn't work. Back to the drawing board. Irby, thoughts?
We got a scoregami. It's the only good thing that came out of it.
Oh, we did get a scoregami. That is true. All right, well.
Because it was a tie.
God bless. We love a scoregami. So, okay. Never say that Jerry Jones didn't give you something. Okay. Jackson Dart, guys. I made $10. On this game. I was very pleased. I do not gamble on sports, but I do make bets with, you know, people I know. And I did make $10 betting on the Giants on this game because I hate the Chargers. Nothing against the Chargers, really, or Chargers fans. It's that their very existence and everything they do is abhorrent to me. So I decided to throw in my lot with Jackson Dart. So, what do we think about this, guys? Is this something we can ride into the future, or was this just a, like, Chargers going to charge our thing?
No, you know, no, I mean, like, it wasn't a bullseye, but for the first time in a while, a Giants quarterback actually hit the dartboard. So, there's that.
Cute. Dart. Nice. Dartboard.
Nice. Irby's not the only one that can toss out a dad joke.
Irby?
Did you make your $10 bet with Russell Wilson?
No, I would have to talk to Russell Wilson, and I would pay somebody $10 to not do that.
Right. No, I like it. You know what? It makes sense for the Giants. Go with Dart and Scatabo. Why not?
Sure thing. All right. Jaguars, what do we think? Going to get a big test this week. What do we think so far?
I'm not buying. Not yet.
Irby, you once made a terrible parenting decision with this team.
Yeah, and then they go and beat my team as a payback. Jackson, a win in San Fran, good job, but that is an injury-riddled team, so do it 2 weeks in a row. Then we'll talk.
Yeah, also, I'm with Bo. I'm just not buying this. I'm sorry. I don't think so. All right, how about the Ravens? Like, how close to panic are we?
Oh, we're well past panic.
But where are we at on panic? Are we panicking like, wow, you're not an AFC contender, or like, wow, you're not going to the playoffs?
I think we're at the wow, you're not going to the playoffs. That's where the Ravens are.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
We might need to revisit that, because I'm just looking in that division and thinking, who's going to take it from you?
Saving grace is that division, but yes.
Yeah. Irby?
Actually, not much panic at all. You're fine. Division this early in the season, you're fine. Plenty of time to right this ship.
Yeah, I think I'm inclined to agree with that. Now, this is not to say I think, oh, they're going to go deep in the playoffs. They're a Super Bowl threat. It's just like, your division is so bad, man. Like, you're going to get there one way or the other. All right. So, are the Saints fun? I mean, they're definitely not as bad as we thought. Are they fun?
Yeah, I think they're fun. I think that's a perfect way of describing what they are. They're not going to win anything, but they're kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. And it's kind of fun that we thought they would be terrible, and they're, like, not terrible.
Not as bad as we thought, no.
Yeah. Irby?
They're 0-4 with the third-worst score differential. They're not
but good. But it's fun.
I didn't ask if they were good. I asked if they were fun.
Sure. Yes, it'll be fun. Yes.
I just think it's fun when everybody thinks you're going to be, like, the worst team alive, and you're, like, so not. So, good for them. Bad for your draft position, but, well, we'll all have a better time watching you. Okay, just two baseball things before we move on here, because I want to talk to you about two people who are not in the postseason. So, one of these, it was quite clear quite a long time ago that they would not be the postseason. The Orioles used 70 players this year. 70. Can you name them? I'm just kidding. but wow, 70 people.
You know, I wow. I don't really know how to respond to that. 70.
Yeah.
That's an insane number.
It is. Yes, for your reference, if you're not aware, that's like a solid 15 to 20 over.
Yeah. Like
what they would typically use, even in a heavily injury-riddled season.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they did. And it's not like, you know, that they traded half the roster at the deadline. I mean, they traded a few guys, but, like, this was just farm back and forth to get through the year. Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's bad. Irby?
Five off of your number of wins on the season. That's never good.
Yeah, well, there you go. Everybody That's got a good one point. Win. Everyone got one win. Cool. Okay, you guys, we have to talk about the Mets. The Mets were at one point in time upwards of 15 games over 500 at some point, and then starting in July, they just spent the entire rest of the season like licking a power outlet, and I can't. What do you do? What do you do when $380 million says, you know what we're going to do? We're all going to get together and have a suicide. What do you do?
Well, I think what you do is you wonder why $380 million bought you very little pitching. I think you start there. And then maybe, maybe you can figure it out. Like, I don't know. I don't know how you come back from this with the roster as it's currently built. You almost have to rebuild around Soto. You got Alonso that's probably going to walk after this. I mean, why would he stay?
Yeah, if I were him, I couldn't get out of there fast enough, right? Like, yeah. I think, but also, like, yeah, Juan Soto, like, you know, like, oh, is he going to go 40-40? Cool. What'd that get you? What'd that get you?
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Super.
It's that punchless last game, right? Like, you had to have that.
They didn't even score a run
yeah.
in that series against the Marlins. They did not score a run in the entire series against the Marlins. Cincinnati lost that last game. All you had to do was win one game. I just, I can't. I don't know. Irby, it's just the myth making me want like an outlet. Irby, thoughts?
Thank you for that visualization of looking at an outlet. I do appreciate that. Yeah, 45-24. 45-24 on June 12th. 21 games. That is, woo! Yep, good looking outlet.
It's bad. All right, does anybody have anything they want to come back to here?
No, nothing from me. Unless you want to talk about the Ravens some more.
No, I'm good. I'm fine. Talk about the Ravens. But no, I'm all right. Irby, anything for you?
No, I'm good.
Nothing for you?
That was a good. Yeah.
All right. So let's hit those playoff rooting interest indexes. So if you're not following us on Twitter, follow us on Twitter or Blue Sky, whatever your bag is. But what these are is you just make two columns, 6 and 6. And I always encourage everybody, you know, share yours with us as well. Unless you have the Yankees at the top of this, in which case, please don't share yours with us. But we're just numbering them 1 through 6 in each league. And this is not who you think is going to win, but who you're rooting for. So who's your first choice? Who's your second choice? And then they just move on up as teams get eliminated. So as of this recording, again, this is Wednesday evening. Nobody is out. We have one American League Series and one National League Series, which we know are going to Game 3. Boston, New York are tied at the moment as the 8th inning. So we will probably know if New York is out or if they're going to a third game before we finish this recording. And we're not going to know what's happening with the Reds and the Dodgers, even though I think we all know what's happening with the Reds and the Dodgers. So,
yeah.
Again, we're not ranking these by who we think is going to survive. We're just saying, all things being equal, who are you rooting for? So I'm going to give you mine for the American League, and we'll give you a very brief explanation for why I did what I did. Give me yours. We can discuss where we see fit. Okay. American League. Obviously, number one, Raccoons in a Trench Coat, and Jose Ramirez, your Cleveland Guardians, number two. Of course, Boston Red Sox, that is my local now. This is also the fan base that has been, I would say, overwhelmingly the kindest to me professionally, even more so than Cleveland. I love Fenway. I'm so happy to live in the area. Really, really good experience with the fans there and the team there and everything, both professionally and personally. So Cleveland, Boston, third place. I've got Toronto, which has not a whole lot to do with Toronto, to be honest with you. Obviously, Ernie Clement, Miles Straw, I will root for them wherever they go. They've also got Andrés Giménez and Shane Bieber, some other former Guardians. I am not entirely shot most of the time with either the Toronto fan base or the org, but I'm also not particularly upset with them at the moment. In fourth place, Seattle. Look, this is all about Cal Raleigh. I actually find these teams to be sort of vaguely annoying. And I also know they're going to screw up, and that makes me not want to root for them. In fifth place, Detroit. American League Central Solidarity. I respect, hate these guys. I probably would have ranked them higher, to be honest. Except that, number one, it's hard for me to get on board with the way they just kind of quit on the season, and I think that's not fair to their fans, and I have an enormous amount of respect for that fan base, and I think that they kind of did their fans dirty by giving up and letting the Guardians just walk in and take that division from them. I'm certainly grateful to them for doing it, but it kind of gives me the ick and makes me not want to root for them. Also, the AJ Hinch of it all has really changed my feelings about the Tigers, and, you know, Tigers fans, I'm sorry. I think you guys are great. But, ew. And in last place, of course, the unloved New York Yankees. All right. any thoughts, comparisons? Bo, you want to give me yours, and then we can talk a little bit?
Yeah, I can give you mine. A little difference here between me and you on some things. But first, that lollygagging sports solidarity, Guardians all the way, baby. Number one in the American League in my book. Number two might surprise some people, but I got the Mariners number two in my rooting index. A lot of it is because of Big Dumper. Love that guy.
Yeah. You know? It's kind of all Big Dumper, don't you think? Like, to me, it's like, I'm like very like, ew.
Yeah.
Big Dumper's awesome. It makes you want to root for him.
Big Dumper's awesome. I could do without the trite. I'll be honest with you. That's a little annoying.
I agree.
You know, but it's also a fan base that I can definitely feel a little bit of, not necessarily like, it's not a division rival respect thing. It's a, man, you guys have been through a lot. So, I kind of like them at two. Three, I've got the Tigers, and that's only because I just can't do anything AL East in the top three.
Sure. Bottom line. Okay.
So, now we're going to get those East teams. I've got the Red Sox at four, Yankees at five, but I want to stress that I really don't care between the two who wins this series. But I've got the Red Sox ahead of the Yankees by a smidgen because it's Red Sox-Yankees. And last, certainly the least, the Toronto Blue Jays. Not as bad as the Astros, but right up there in terms of my sports hatred. So that's my six.
The Toronto has not acquitted itself well, particularly as an organization or as a fan base. You know, my love for Miles and Ernie goes a long way on that one. I'll put it that way. But yeah, no, I get it. I can respect this ranking. Ernie, what do you have for us?
I love that we're all going to be different. Like, I think last year we were very similar in one of these, so this is great. Solidarity at the top. Go Guards, go.
Yeah.
Keep this up. I've got Boston at two.
Yep, okay, same as mine.
I understand the point, and I agree with that, but I think it's Vincent, a fan of the show, good friend of ours.
Sure.
He's a diehard Red Sox fan, so that's the difference for me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Big Dumper and his Mariners is third. Mm-hmm. Questioning my life because, you know, Bo has a catcher above mine, so I don't know what I'm going to do now. Thank you, Bo. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Detroit at four. And do I have to keep answering, or can I just...
No, you can. You are actually allowed to just say no. That's how I listed it when I wrote it out for number six. So you can just simply say no.
It really is. It's after Detroit. Yeah. I don't... It's no. Yeah, I like that. No.
Yeah, okay, so no at five and no at six. Okay, we got you. Yeah, no, so these are good. These are good. I like these. They look good. Okay, over the National League. I will be honest and say I have far less strong feelings over here for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of knew who I wanted at one and knew who I wanted at six, and then I looked at the other four and went, I don't really care. So I kind of tried to sort this out. I feel it, number one. I like the Phillies. I like their org. I like the fans a lot. I think those guys are awesome. I hope they can get it done. I have San Diego at number two, mostly because they annoyed me less than a lot of the other people on this list, and also they have Michael King. At number three, I have the Cubs because I feel 100% neutral about them. At four and five, I have the Dodgers and the Reds. I have the Dodgers listed ahead of the Reds because of Mookie Betts. But I would also be willing to be talked into flipping them because it would be so freaking funny if the Reds knocked them out. That would be worth a lot to me because it would just be hilarious. But mostly I just don't care. And then I have Milwaukee at the bottom because the fans are jerks to me, so I don't like you. Also, they're boring.
And they're drunk.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Very similar, I think.
Okay.
I also had the Phillies. Number one in the National League.
Okay, cool.
Similar reasonings, right? That fan base is one of my favorites. They're just one of my favorite. Playoff baseball in Philly is amazing.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to watch that at least through the National League playoffs and the end of the World Series. So yeah, go Phillies.
Agree.
Second, I've got the Cubs barely edging the Friars. Barely.
I debated over those
too. Not a strong reason either way. I just kind of enjoy the Cubs more than the Friars. That's how it is. My bottom three are different. I've got Reds at 4, Brewers at 5, and Dodgers at 6.
Is it because they take the per paid people?
Well, that, and I also hate the Brewers for a bunch of different reasons. So, Brewers, Dodgers, it's got a lot to do with their offseason, but at the end of the day, I just don't want to root for them.
The Dodgers or the Brewers?
The Dodgers. The Brewers, I just in general don't want to root for. The Dodgers, okay, so, the Dodgers turned me off.
Okay, so you went Philly, Cubs, San Diego, Cincinnati as like people you could get on board with, and yes, then just no and no. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, yeah, no, that's, I get it. That makes sense to me. Okay, Irby, what about you? What do you got?
So we just need a Guardians Phillies World Series, and let's just skip the rest of this.
That's gonna cause some heart attacks, man.
If you want to talk about two groups of people who are sort of collectively insane about the way that they handle baseball, this will not end well. I mean, it will be amazing, but like also there will be a lot of people in a hospital by the end of this. And I don't mean because they did injure each other. I mean because they will hurt themselves. Like they're falling off of grease light poles or like having a mental breakdown. It'll be one or the other, maybe both.
Can you have a mental breakdown on top of a greased up light pole?
That's how you end up in the hospital.
You can, but you're not going to be on that pole long.
Yeah. So, I'm Phillies at the top. My shocker here, I've got the Reds at number 2.
Okay.
Go Chaos Go.
Okay. I can get on board with that. That's your little Chaos Goblin.
More Ellie. I got the Friars at 3.
Okay.
Dodgers at 4.
Same as me.
And then Brewers at 5, Cubs at 6.
Oh, so no Cubs for you. All right. So why are you where you're at on the Cubs? That's like the one.
I've got too many people, not all, but too many people, too many Cub fans in my life that are absolutely obnoxious.
Get that.
It's a little hate there of like, and if they're listening, hey, you might know who you are. And there's some of you, it's not you. If you're thinking it's not you, it's not you.
That fan base is a mix for sure. Some who are lovely and some who are insufferable. I tend to give them a little bit more of a break because you don't get the same like viciousness out of that fan base.
Yes,
that you
get, I agree. Out
of Yankee fans, Astro fans, Brewers fans, but yes, some of them do become fairly unbearable. I agree.
So okay, let's just do Guards Phillies and just make it easier for everybody.
Can we just have Guardians Phillies? Like, can we just make everybody happy? Make this podcast happy. Make happy people happy.
Everybody happy. Even the teams, the other teams, you'll be happy. Don't worry. Trust us.
Yeah. You'll love it. You'll love it. Don't worry. You'll love it.
All right. Anything else on this before we get into how we performed with our preseason predictions?
No, I don't think so. Guys, hit us up with yours. I mean, friendly reminder that we don't actually care what you think of our rankings. Like, I don't need to know if you don't agree with me. It's just share that. That's one of those things where you just scroll right on by and you say, I agree, and you shut your face because shutting up is always free. But if you want to tell me yours, whether it's the same or different, that would be awesome. So we would love to see yours. So drop us a line on Twitter and let us know what you got.
All right, Irby. You're up.
Yeah, so something we did last year, and it was a lot of fun. And here we go again this year. At the beginning of the season, we did our over-under. It was a great – I love when we do that segment, over-under. And we also have some nuggets in the explanation. I think I have just as much fun listening to that show again and seeing where we're saying on wins and nuggets and things like that. And then finding out how we did. And so I will say this. We did better than we did last year. Okay? So.
That's not saying much.
It started AL right off the bat. Yankees were a over-under 89.5. We all went over, and they finished with 94. So, pat on the back. Good start.
All right.
Rays, 81.5. Samantha, you went over at 82. Bo and I both said under, and we said 78 and 76. They finished at 77. So, Bo, long distance high five.
Nice. Right.
Blue Jays. Oh, boy.
boy.
This is going to be bad.
Yeah.
78 and a half wins, and we all said under.
Ooh. Oh, no. I'm sorry,
Ernie.
I
got the worst. I came out and said 75 wins. I was 19 off, but they got 94.
Oh, my gosh.
Ouch.
I'm sorry, Ernie. I'm sorry, Miles. That's brutal.
Yep. Orioles, 87 and a half wins. They were predicted to get 87 and a half. They ended up with 75, and we all said under.
Woo. All right.
Yep. Samantha, best one there. You said 81. I was 84, 85, so I gave him a little more credit. But, hey, you still got under. And then the Red Sox, 86 and a half wins. We all went over. Samantha, you and Bo said first place. They didn't quite get there, but still.
They were close.
89 wins. We all said over. Take that as a W.
I believe I also said I thought that they could be a sneaky World Series contender, and I still believe that. So
I got that little bold prediction stuff coming up.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But yes, it's there. Yours is the only one that did well of the six picks.
Oh.
All right. Central, Twins projected to win 84 and a half. We all said under, and the best one is Samantha. You added they'll finish fourth. 70 wins, they finish fourth. Well done.
I'm not even going to – I'm sorry. I'm not taking any credit for that. I was just saying something logical there. I'm not taking any credit for that one. I feel
it's like an outside pitch that you go opposite field on the singles. Like, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, zero credit awarded for that one. No.
Yep. All right, Guardians, 82 and a half. We all went over. They got 88. I said 90, so got close. Samantha, right on to you said just under 90. And 88 is just under 90. Well done.
All right. Cool.
Tigers, 83 and a half wins. We all said over. I did say 87. I just didn't think it would be as painful of an 87. Like that 2 months ago, I was like, wow, I'm going to miss that one. Nope. Got it. Yep. Exactly how I thought it'd play out. Cool. All right, Royals, 83 and a half wins. They won 82 games. We all said over. Ooh. Matthew, you and I went 87. Bo, you said over 88 wins. So Royals, ooh. Yikes, guys.
Damn, I predicted it would win the Central. Ouch.
All right, White Sox, 53 and a half wins. They won 60 games.
Woo-hoo.
We all said under.
Yeah. I don't regret that one.
I was saying 49, and hey.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about that.
Yeah
exactly. The Trash Cans, 87 and a half. That one actually predicted pretty well because I won 87 games. We all said under and went with 86, 85, and 84. So.
Hey.
We're close.
I guess it's a win. Don't care about it, but. Mariners.
Oh, boy.
84 and a half wins. We all went under.
Yeah.
Oh, you and I, with the painful one, we both said less than 80 wins this year.
Well, okay, but in our defense, we could not predict Big Dumper having that season he had.
Yeah, that's true.
That came out of nowhere.
But it was fun. It is fun. Rangers, on the other end of the spectrum, 85 and a half wins. Yep, we all said over. Oh, you said over 90 wins. That didn't happen. Oh, well. All right. Angels, 71 and a half was their number, and they won 72. So good job continuing to be mediocre. We all said under, so technically we did not get it. They were half game over. Still not apologizing.
Look, there are just some teams where I feel professionally obligated to just say under regardless of what the number is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So next year, can we add the push option where we say yeah, they're gonna be right at 72 instead of 72 and a half, just say 72?
No, yep. I hate push. No. You have to commit. No.
You have to commit to it. Okay. The wrapping up the AL, the Athletics. 71 and a half as well, and we said under, except for Bo, who went over.
Hey.
I didn't say 72, but still, you went over. Good job that they got 76 wins.
I believed in those A's.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. All right. But, yes, the division and wild cards, I'll just run it down and let you guys comment on there. Samantha, your division winners were Boston, Cleveland, Texas. Your wild cards were New York, Kansas City, Houston, with Detroit barely missing out.
So I got 2 out of 6. Awesome. Great.
But you got 3 out of 6, right? Three, yeah.
No, oh, 3 out of 6.
Yeah, Boston,
three,
Cleveland, and New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
I went Boston, Cleveland, Texas as well. New York, Detroit, Kansas City, with Houston just barely missing out. So I don't care about the rest of it. I'm really glad I got that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Bo, you also had Boston, Cleveland, Texas, mm-hmm. New York, Kansas City, Detroit, with Houston barely missing out. So again, good job.
All right.
Sorry, Seattle.
I'll take that. Well, yeah. So, I'll take it.
Good job. That was not too bad. Not too bad. Like I said, see, we did better than last year. So, all right, flip over to the National League. The Braves. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They were projected to get 93.5 wins.
Oh, God.
Well, the good news is you both said under.
Did we?
You said 92. Bo, you said under 90.
I love being technically right.
Yeah.
On that. Yeah.
Like,
I said over.
Oh, boy.
Cool. Thanks for that.
I remember that. Yeah. You were hell-bent on the Braves just like wrecking shop in the National League East. Remember that.
Yep. Yep. it gets worse. Don't worry. The Phillies, 91.5. Yeah. We all went over that over 91.5, and they got 96. So good job.
That was just a disrespectful number for the Phillies.
That was an easy one. Yeah. I agree with disrespectful. I agree. Mm-hmm.
The Marlins, 63.5 wins, and we all went under.
Oh no!
They won 79 games.
They were still technically in it.
I don't feel bad about that. I'm sorry. I don't see how anyone could have predicted that.
Right?
I don't think they got eliminated until within the final week. Like, they were still technically in it, like, a week before the season ended.
Yep. All right, the Mets. 90.5 wins.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Samantha, you were smart saying under. Good job.
Dude.
Bo, we went over.
We both went over? Yikes.
You said 92. I said 95.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no. You guys, this is, again, there are certain teams where you are just obligated to say under, no matter what the number is. And the Mets are one of those teams. It's like the Angels. It doesn't matter what the number is.
I know.
You simply take the under.
Two months ago, I was sitting there going, I am right on this. They're going to win 95. This is amazing.
But again, it's the Mets.
I know. And I'll do it again next year, probably. the last one, the Nationals, 72.5 wins. Samantha, you and I went under. Good job.
Really?
Oh, you went over.
How far over did I go?
You said 74. Okay. Only 166. So not bad.
Okay.
Like a respectable
I can live with that. I can live with that. Yeah.
I think if memory serves me, I think he was saying, I just think they're going to be a little bit better than people think. Yeah. That's how I remember this going. So, yeah, it's not a bad miss at all.
Yeah, no. All right, over to the Central, the Cardinals. 77.5 was their number, and they won 78 games. We all said under, with Bo going the furthest, saying they will finish 5th. There were times it looked like they might.
I was about to say, they had their moments.
No. the Cubbies, 85.5 was their number. We all went over, and they won 92 games. I had the best one at 89, but all of us were in the upper 80s in their pick. So, good job. Pat on the back. Another one that seemingly, I think, was easy, if I remember right, is the Brewers were projected to win 83.5 games. And we all did go over.
Yeah, that was an absurd number.
Well, yeah, come on. 83.5.
That was a low number for them. Just to get in 97. The Reds projected to get 78.5. And you guys went under.
I went over!
No wonder you got the Reds so high in your rooting index.
Right, exactly. They proved me right. I got it. Come on, Reds, let's go. Yeah. And the last one, the Pirates.
This is going to be so bad for them.
Yes. You did say under. We all said under the 77.5, so we did get that right. But yes, Samantha, you did say they would finish ahead of the Reds.
I also said I thought they might be a long shot playoff team.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like Pierce the Dump.
Why do I get a sound effect and you don't?
Because you said they were going to make the playoffs or, no, be a fringe playoff team.
That was a bold prediction. I wrote the bold prediction down. Yes, that was there. That was bold. We'll get to it. All right. The Dodgers were projected to win 103.5. You guys wisely went under that. I did not. I said they went 110. They won 93.
Okay, so this is the thing where it's sort of the opposite of like what I was talking about with the Mets and the Angels. Now it's about if there's a certain number, you just take the under.
Right.
And if that number is over 100, you take the under.
Yep. Yep. All right, the Diamondbacks, 86.5 was their number. At the beginning of the year. Of course, that was when Corbin Burns was healthy. They finished with 80 wins. We all went over, and we all said they would finish second. Personally, I think it's crap.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Thanks, Arizona. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right. The Giants, another one that the Bull Setters hit this one perfectly. 80.5 was their number. They won 81 games. Almost did good. Samantha, you went over and said they would finish third. They finished third. I did say under, but I said 79. So I'm happy with that 79, and they get 81.
Mm-hmm.
Bo, you said over and said they win 81. So apparently we can predict the Giants really well.
Interesting.
Well, that all started with Samantha, though. Like, I don't think you actually kind of added some games in my head to it because I was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was stumping better than you think, Giants. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got one for you. Are you ready, Samantha? You ready for this?
Look what I got.
I'm ready.
I got a jar of dirt. I got a jar of dirt, and guess what's inside it?
There you go.
I appreciate it. I don't know if I deserve a jar of dirt for that.
I think you do. Perhaps
for accuracy, if not for dramatic performance.
Right. All right. To the Friars, the Padres were projected to win 85.5.
Oh, boy.
You guys both went under. Samantha, you took it even further, saying they would finish fourth. I took the over there. So the Padres, I guess, did better than we thought. There we go.
Yeah, they did.
And then everybody's favorite, Colorado Hills, projected to win 58.5. Samantha, you went over, said 59. Oh, you and me did go under. And I even went further and said 48. I gave them 5 more wins than they got.
I won't apologize for this. I am a guy to look out for.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I can't do that to Dinger. I can't go into things and think that things will go that badly for Dinger.
Yep. So they go down the projections. Samantha, your division winners were the Phillies, the Cubs, and the Dodgers. And your wild cards were the Braves, Diamondbacks, and Mets, with the Giants just missing out.
No.
So 2 divisions right. No wild card.
Zero.
The missing out was good. The Giants just missing out. They were the next one. Or I guess the Mets were.
Were they?
Yeah, exactly. Technically, yes, but all right, I had the Mets, Cubs, and Dodgers winning their divisions. With the Braves, Phillies, and Diamondbacks, and the Padres just missing out.
The Diamondbacks got everybody.
We should have known that one. I think this is a stinker for us because that was better.
We were so bad with the National League this year.
Yeah.
Was that buying Burns and buying Eugenio Suarez?
Oh, I think we were, you know what I think happened here? I think we were so working hard to sell ourselves a Rangers comeback that we talked ourselves into a Diamondbacks comeback to go along with it.
Oh,
that's what I think.
That could be it, yeah.
I mean, it had to be the pitching, too, because the pitching on paper looked great. With Burns, Galleon, Kelly. But that did not play out.
It did not play out, yeah.
So, Bo, yeah, you had Phillies, Cubs, and Dodgers. Yeah, the Diamondbacks, Mets, and Brewers with the Padres is the first one out of the playoffs. So, yeah. And then the last one, the bold predictions. And I do want to stress bold, meaning we don't think this is going to happen, but want to put it out there, bold stuff. Samantha, you alluded to yours. You said that the Yankees would miss October and Boston would win the World Series.
Hey. That still might be half right.
Yeah, yep.
I stand by that one.
That is, like I said, of the six, that was the best one. Nope. Your other NL was that the Pirates would be the third wild card.
I don't stand by that one.
12 games.
I don't know what. Only 12
games off.
I don't know what happened to me. You guys, I got really excited about Kalski. really excited. And also, like, Pirates.
It's valid.
I have to get excited about that.
All right, my AL bold prediction, which I will say, if I was a lawyer, technically I would be correct in this. I said that the Orioles would not lose a wild card series.
It is technically true.
That's true.
Technically
speaking, yes, you were.
You cannot lose something you are not allowed to play.
Ooh.
Wow, man.
And then the other side, my bold prediction was that the Phillies would miss October to Arizona and Atlanta.
Ooh, okay. Gosh. Oh. That's bold.
Yep. Didn't do that well on that one. Bo, your bold prediction was that the Sacramento Oakland Athletics would finish third in the AL West.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not that bad.
No, that's five games. That's five games behind the Rangers.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
I should have said fourth.
I know that wrong. You said that, saying that they would finish ahead of Seattle, but that's not important.
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because I had to.
You see what, deep buddy? See what happened there?
I led with the, you were only five games off. Not the team you thought. No, that was good. And then your NL bold prediction was that the Diamondbacks would finish within five of the Dodgers and beat them in October.
Oof. Ooh, man, I was really drinking that Diamondbacks Kool-Aid. Wow.
We really were, though. Like, why did we do this? I need to know, what our collective mental state was. At that point in time, why were we so convinced of it? Is it the Rangers thing? I think that's what it is.
We weren't specifically saying that, but I think you're onto something there. It was the pitching, and none of us were buying the Giants at all. Like they were a mediocre team. Granted, they ended up being a mediocre team, but yeah, we definitely were drinking that Diamondback.
Yeah, my problem here isn't the Giants thing. It's the why were we buying the Diamondbacks over the Brewers? Or
Corbin Carroll.
Or the Padres. Maybe it is. Maybe I am awfully fond of Corbin Carroll and still am. I just I don't think I would have made that mistake based on the fact that I like Corbin Carroll. So I think this is the Rangers thing and possibly something to do with the rotation. I think we really talked ourselves into that rotation.
Well, and to our credit, I mean, it was a good-looking rotation to start the season. We did not know that Zach Allen was going to have an ERA above six.
That's why it's not as bad of a prediction as the Phillies will miss the playoffs or the Pirates are a long shot. Because it actually was believable to think that that could happen. So.
Yeah. Yep. So that was the big off. There's some good, the other big off the other side was the Blue Jays. That was a big swing and a miss.
I don't know. I stand by that. I had no logical reason to think anything other than what I did. Like, if somebody wants me to apologize for not giving them, like, four more wins, I will. But, like, I'm sorry. The Blue Jays winning that division with the roster makeup that they had, like, Listen, man, that is not...
No, it's for me, it's the difference. Like we were all saying 78 or less wins, and they got 94. Like, that is...
I can't, but what I saw, what I saw on paper, I still agree with what we did.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I don't feel that bad about that one. And so the Diamondbacks one's, like, way worse, because it's, like, you're, like, looking at that one, we should have known. This, how could you not?
You should have known. Yeah, we should have. And that's where I feel about the Mets one. I definitely should have known better.
Well, yes, that you should have known. Mets. Mm-hmm. Mets gonna mess. I mean, you thought the Padres were going to mess, but you did not think the Mets were going to mess.
Right. I got half credit there. I knew one of y'all would do it. Just got the wrong one.
They are interchangeably tragic. It's true.
Yep. So there's our preseason predictions and how we fared. And I did better than last year. I enjoy doing this. I'm glad that we can laugh at ourselves and look back at. You know, there's logic behind it.
Did we get more than half of them right?
Yes.
Okay, so we are still better at this than Dakota.
This is true.
I just want to put that out there. Because you know how I feel about projection systems. Like, please do not. I think it's a fine way to orient yourself, especially if you're kind of a casual fan. But, like, please do not look at these things as gospel. They're not really even intended to be a prediction. Per se, but they're really, really flawed. They're not good at this. So, just something to keep in mind. Because we did some pretty embarrassing stuff, and we still beat the computer. So, something to think about.
That's a great point.
we really went
far with some of ours and still beat this computer. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. No, that's the – at the end of the day, the computer can look at this, and the computer told us that there would be three teams in the AL East with 90-plus wins.
Yeah.
There was one.
Yeah. You know what's going to be interesting is if AI comes into this next year? And I mean interesting in a very bad way.
I am not interested in anything that AI does, good or bad. I just want it to not exist. Very bad. Is it a tool – to make people stupider.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. But I mean, you got to think some of these big companies are going to go with AI to try. At the very least, they're going to have two projections. They're going to have the computer model and the AI model, which are basically the same thing. They're both computers.
New question: who is dumber, AI or Pakoda? You're fired.
Oh God. What if AI is learning from Pakoda?
Well, that's the thing is if you're putting in Pakoda as one of your parameters for AI, that's where you're going to have an issue.
Oh God!
Actually, that would be hilarious if AI comes back.
So much worse.
No.
That's where it gets really sad. If like even AI knows that you shouldn't use Pakoda, that would be interesting to me.
Actually, that would be fun if we get all these projections next year, have like the Mets winning 94 games, and AI goes, I have them at 82. What? This is crazy. Nope, that's exactly what happened.
That would be funny.
But see, it probably would, right? Because what AI does is like steal. It steals from people without their permission. That's what AI is. That's why it's such a problem. So what AI is going to do is steal from all of us. And it's going to be able to make a more accurate prediction because the computer, while inaccurate, is also harmless and not engaging in theft. It's simply flawed. So, yeah, the AI will do better because it will steal.
Wow. Oh, boy. All right.
And then it will murder you. So we're clear. Then it will kill you.
So many movies that tell you that AI is a bad idea, and we did it anyway.
Seriously. We deserve whatever we get. Yeah. It's not like we didn't know. So,
well, we're trying to grow dinosaurs as well, so, you know.
Oh, God. Go to see a movie, people. Honestly. Yeah,
but as we've discussed before, as the name says, my toxic trait is that if they opened Jurassic Park, I would still go.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
on the wrong end of that one.
My job, working emergency management, I'd take a job there in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is probably how we all die. Shelters
are and when to go to them.
And then we find your arm sticking out of one.
No, see, this is why I want to make sure that I'm always at least within eyesight of the lollygagging resident. Can we call him a biologist for this? No, there's something else. What is it for dinosaurs? He will know what to do, and I will just do whatever he does.
The paleobiologist? Yeah, that makes sense.
There we go. Okay. Yeah.
I think he's going marine, though, Bo.
Hey, that's okay, because that the marine dinosaur in Jurassic World was scary. I would like to know what to do.
Those marine ones completely freaked me out. Yeah. I mean, do you guys follow that Incorrect Dinosaurs on Instagram?
No.
It is deeply funny, but also terrifying. It's just a whole bunch of examples of, like, dinosaurs from movies, books, various illustrations of, like, something that, like, we now know for a fact is, like, an absurdly inaccurate representation of a dinosaur, and I am here to tell you that they never do worse than with the water dinosaurs. The aquatic ones, oh my gosh, so funny. You need to go look at this. I mean, no free ads or whatever, but, like, you really should be following Incorrect Dinosaurs.
Based off the other dinosaurs in the latest Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, I'd buy that, yeah.
Oh, no. These are much worse. These are funny. No, these are much better than anything that you could see in Jurassic Park where they're trying to make it look real. No, you really need to look at them.
Okay.
That's look that up. Awesome. I need that because that's my eldest son.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Right. You won't be, I promise you won't be disappointed.
All right. Anything else on projections before we talk a little college football overtime?
No. I forgot about college football for like a day. Okay. Fine.
Irby, how about you? Anything else you want to add there?
No shame. Happy with the.
One looking the outlet right now. I just want you to open up that.
All right.
All over time. Just let me die, man. Oh.
Yeah. One last thing before we go. Because, you know, this did happen with your Nittany Lions. I was watching this overtime. You know, as I've watched a bunch of overtimes, like, you know, it's college football is at least exciting, unlike the tie we saw in the NFL. College football at least makes their overtime exciting. But here's my question, because as I'm watching this, I'm thinking back to the game itself and how difficult it is in regular time to get that last 25 yards on a drive. You know, like you start at the 20. It seems like you get to the 30 or the 25, no problem. But that last 25 yards is very difficult to get during regulation. But in overtime, suddenly, it's touchdown, 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 touchdown. Let's say you get 2, 3, 4 overtimes in these long college football. Is there, Samantha, serious question, is there a college football overtime portal similar to the Mound portal that we've discovered this year?
Listen, Occam's razor, right? Simplest explanation's usually correct.
Yeah.
This is the simplest explanation. Like,
it has to be.
Look, it's very weird. It reminds me a lot, not just of the Mound portal, but also, like, extra innings in baseball now that we have the Ghost Runner. Like, we all know why the first run scores more easily, right? It was because it was expressly designed to do that. But riddle me this. Why is it now so easy for guys to go, well, if you're on the road, play for two, and then they go get them? If it's so easy to get two runs, hey, even make it one, because one of them is the Ghost Runner. Why couldn't you get that run in the first nine? Yeah. Like, it's just baffling to me. This is definitely a non-portal situation. It is a sideline portal. It is a something portal. I don't know what it is, but, like, I think they're super freaked out by, like, having to play defense on a short field, and they forget that they could just play it the exact same way you would play when you were inside the 20 normally, but it's like their brains can't handle it, and they explode. Non-portal, sideline portal.
You know, that's a good point. It's not just a college football playoff overtime portal. It's just an overtime portal that the NFL is somehow has a vaccine against.
The NFL is just so bad at handling, like, everything like this. That, like, we just sit there and we're like, I don't know, it's not the worst thing they've done. Right? That's the problem, is that they fail at everything in this regard. So we're more likely to look at college football or baseball and be like, what happened to you? A portal. In the NFL, we just go, oh, of course you did.
Yeah. It is a good point, though. I mean, how many leadoff doubles in the regular season during, you know, in the first nine innings? More often than not, they don't get home. Right? Like,
well,
I would love the stats on that. I don't know, Irby, if you have that on the fly, but I'd love the stats on that. Like, during, like in the nine innings of baseball, how many leadoff, what are the percentage of leadoff doubles that scored versus the ghost runner?
Well, and it's not even just that, right? Like, even if you can say, okay, with a runner on second, you should be able to get him home in with three outs, and theoretically, if you've made it all the way to extra innings, then perhaps you're capable of doing that. But what I want to know is why that second guy scores so often.
Good point. Yeah. Yep.
Especially when you go to extras, not because you're tied 8-8, but because you're tied 1-1 or 2-2. Like, where was this?
It seemed like there was It seemed like there was a lot of 3-run top of the 10th this year too.
Yes, personally,
more than usual.
Participated in several of them, both doing it and having it done to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a lot of that going around. Like, and always in a situation where you're like, you bozos have struggled to put 2 or 3 on the board a day, all series.
Okay.
And now you got 4 in you?
Conspiracy theory. The mound portal evolved and spread to other sports through the ghost runner.
Do you think that when somebody goes through the mound portal, it's possible that they, like, land in college football and that's how it spread?
Yes.
Just very temporarily?
Yes.
Like, they just kind of jump through and jump right back?
Yeah, because the NFL, or excuse me, the college football didn't social distance.
As they left the door open, right? Oh, is that a transfer portal? No. No. No, don't go through that door. Oh, man, this is like a Nightmare Before Christmas, you know, when they have all the holidays.
The trees, yes!
And you're, like, looking around, and you're like, I don't know, do I go to Christmas? Do I go to Easter? Like, nah, man, I'm going to go to Flag Day.
That's exactly what happened. That's how this happened. Right here.
What a mess.
Irby, how about you? What do you think?
Oh, so much on there. Quick, you know, research on your what you proposed, Bo, and data from 1990 to 2010.
Oh, wow. We went back to 1990. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, give me more time. I can get you better data. Give me more current data. But during that time period, roughly 63% of the time, a leadoff double scored.
A little higher than I thought.
Well, is it, though? Like 38, 30. But then again, back then, we knew how to move runners over. Back.
Thank you. Yeah.
So
maybe look at the last 5 years or 10 years.
Yeah.
I still want to know about the second run. What are the chances a second run scores in that inning? That's the thing that's fun.
In just extra innings? Or,
well, no, I mean, compared to under normal circumstances, if that were to happen, like if you had a leadoff double, what are the chances that 2 runs come in that inning?
The current batter scores. Okay.
Yeah, that they both come around to score eventually, because that's where the thing really breaks down to me, because, like, it makes sense that the ghost runner would score because it is designed to do that.
Yes.
That's why he is there, because they want him to score. But I just, that second guy, man, I don't know. It's weird.
And so that's where I go from logic to what probably is true, because there's science behind this. You know, I mean, science is not proving something, it's disproving everything else around. So the fact that we have never disproven that portals
do not exist means that there is very likely that it does. As of right now, definition speaking, very likely there are portals on the mound in the overtime end zone. I think these are mental portals. They're not a physical presence. It is a mental portal that you can't see, whatever, you want to go another dimension, anything like that. And it is a mindset. It is a mindset of you start the inning off and, oh my gosh, there's a guy at second. Like, okay, how's that different from a leadoff double? Like, so he starts there. Like, you literally, you could get your mind around the fact that, yeah, in the next inning, we start with a guy at second. Like, are you doing that on the offensive side? Walking in there, you're the first batter, like, oh man, I got a guy at second. This is great. Like, suddenly you hit better. Same thing with the overtime. Like, is it, oh man, we're starting the ball at the 25. Yeah, we've had turnovers before where we've done this. It's not that crazy of a thing, but I take it even further. Like, we see it too at the end of football games where, you know, the worst thing you can do in all of defense is go into prevent because all you're doing is preventing your chances from winning. And we laugh about that all the time. We see these teams, it's like, yeah, they're going to move down the field. Well, there's only 17 seconds. Well, with the ball stopping after first downs in college, like, that's three plays. That's enough to get a field goal, which is ridiculous, but I think these portals, like the ones you're talking about, it's real. It is a mental mindset, a mental block for some, and a mental freeing for others. It's just a matter of do you accept that portal and can you get your head around it?
Well, and do you think there's an element of greed to this? And I don't mean greed as in like bad, you take too much, but in the like, I'm assuming I'm getting that first line. So as an ambitious, competitive person, I'm going to go after the second line.
Sure.
And then it almost wills itself into existence, which, I mean, this is not why we have really made this about baseball. I'm sorry, guys. We can make anything about baseball.
We can.
I'm a college overtime here.
I'm not apologizing for it either.
About baseball. No, this is a baseball show, you guys. that's why you're here, or why you're not here in some cases. but there's an element of
for
sure. like,
I think that goes to the mental mindset of exactly what you're saying. You've gotten this one because you've gotten that mind of knowing that, yeah, there'll be a runner in second. We're going to give that one up. So we I don't care about that run. We're going to get it. We've got to work on the other one.
Right. So the goal becomes the second run.
Yeah. Because think about it. You take the next step. If you're the away team and you get that run or don't get that run, your mindset completely changes. If you don't get that run, then the first thing you do is you're probably pitching around the first batter and you're getting a force out. Because you can put a guy on first. Who cares? It doesn't matter if he scores or not. Now we need to set up the force out. Whereas if you are smart and you're greedy, the word you use, if you're a little greedy and you go for that second run and you end up getting a third run there, now when you come out and pitch, you could care less who's standing at second base. You go and tell the guy, you can go ahead and run the third and home if you want. We don't care. You mean nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. So your mindset is, it changes to you're not even pitching. You're not even playing defense like there's a runner there. You're doing it like it's a regular inning.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's also why like stolen bases don't have the effect that you think they do in extra innings, and that's why.
Yep. See,
and then I don't mean you. I mean like the Royal you.
Yep. And then I think that take it. Let's read back what you were saying there about college football. Take it there. Everybody knows, okay, first overtime, you can kick the extra point. I'd love to see someone do that, the Dan Campbell, and boom, get the ball, couple plays, go down, score, go for two, get it right away. Because if you get it, suddenly the other side, that other team's going, whoa, wait, we're not supposed to do that this overtime. And now they're worried about the extra point before they're even having to drive 25 yards.
But if you don't, then you're getting tired tomorrow.
And there's the thing, and that's the hardest thing, and it's where I think it's why – we love, and now moving to the NFL, the Dan Campbell approach. He's not afraid to do that. And if that's a talk with GM or ownership or front office, whatever it is, it's like, look, we're going to take these gambles. Is it going to be pie in our face sometimes? Absolutely. But there's going to be other times we get it done. It's game-changing, but not even game-changing. Think about the mental of that sideline. Samantha, you and I, our favorite one is the one that a team down 14 scores a touchdown. The first thing you do is go for two.
Yep.
And everybody's like, what are they doing? It's like, understand that now we can get into mathematics, but also a mental thing, that you get that touchdown and you get the two-point conversion and it's a six-point game. Forget, we can talk about all the positives on your side. The other side, who this whole time is like, okay, whatever, they scored. All they got to do is tie it. Now they're looking at it going, okay, we got to get a first down, because if we do a three and out, they're going to drive down and beat us.
Yep. Yep. This is how you bury somebody mentally, so that they will bury themselves in reality. And that's where the mental portal comes into play, I think.
Well, I'm over here trying to figure out, I'm trying to map out who patient zero is between, we need a combination of pitcher and ghost runner that spread this portal to college football. That's where my head's at.
Patient zero, pitcher
ghost runner.
I'm looking for somebody who's very likely to make the third out and also can pitch. It's Austin Hedges.
Ooh. Oh.
Loves him some fantasy football.
Yeah.
Not a good hitter. Very likely to be the guy who made that third out.
And easy.
And also a pretty decent mop-up pitcher.
Yeah.
So when you have position players pitching. Now, I will, because somebody will say this, if I don't, say that yes, it is extremely unlikely you'll see Austin Hedges as the ghost runner, because he'd normally be lifted for a pinch runner. But assume they've already subbed out, if we're talking about the Guardians, that Hedges already subbed out for Bo Naylor as a defensive replacement late in the game, so you cannot remove him as the pinch runner. There you go.
There it is. There it is. Austin Hedges is patient zero.
That's right. There is no level of nonsense you can go to that I can find a way to make it work.
I'm well aware of that, and that's it. As fast as you did that too, that was impressive.
ask me to do something that's actually useful, and it's going to take me like 6 hours. But you know, if you want to know who.
Oh, okay. Anything else on this before we call it a week? Anybody?
Stay out of the man portal, kids.
Stay out of that man portal. You'll find yourself in overtime with Appalachian State. Don't do it. All right. Well, wherever you're listening to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like, subscribe to the show. Help us out with that algorithm so we get some more lollygaggers in here. But for this week, we're done. We're out of here. Until next week. Watch the playoffs. It's good for you.